Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
I'm Right Shark.
And I'm Left Chuck.
This is episode 84. Let's dance.
Chuck. I don't know.
Like a firework baby screaming across a paper plane. I don't know.
I'm a plastic bag.
I'm a plastic bag.
I'm a plastic bag. I had a plastic bag in my throat. Quit polluting.
84.
84. So
I don't know why our sharks were Bostonian.
Hey.
Oh, now I know why. Never mind. Fuck.
I know those weren't really Boston. That was just like gritty old fucking skeezer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boston.
I just got done watching Mystic River, so for me it was Boston.
Oh man. Yeah. So here we are, episode 84.
Yep.
Kind of a downer for a lot of people in the room.
Why? It's just the 2nd of February. Tax season started.
It's Groundhog Day. We already wasted that one.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But he did see a shadow 6 more weeks of winter.
Yeah.
Wicked
saw a
winter.
Shadow proving he was opaque. Huh?
Yeah, I still
it's not that,
that
he casts a shadow. It's that he sees it. I know.
But still, if he sees his shadow, that means the sun's out, which means there is no winter.
Dude,
it's warming up.
6 more weeks of winter, and it's all falling on Boston right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So happy Groundhog Day!
Yay! God, if only
like
we could
the
go
groundhog
back.
Groundhog Phil.
A day.
Yeah.
Change some things.
Yeah. I don't really care. I'm just I didn't watch anything like at all on the day. But then I saw all the memes about the halftime show. And the apparent... Well, I did watch the Nationwide commercial. What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
What a great use of CGI for the cooties.
I'm just glad that M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dongs is getting work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, cooties, they're so cute. Oh, they're all dead.
Oh.
Oh, they're all dead.
Yeah.
Spoiler, it's a commercial. I don't care.
Yeah.
Wowie zowie.
I don't know. The one that got me was the Always, where it's hashtag like a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'm cool with the message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get older people, mm-hmm. men and women, to run like a girl and throw like a girl.
Oh,
and
I've seen that
one.
It's
all awkward and everything.
Yeah.
And then they ask very young children
and they don't
who
do
have
it.
Not gotten into puberty.
Yeah.
Young girls, you know, run like a girl and they're running really hard and throw like a girl. They're throwing really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Great message.
Execution was too humorous to...
No, execution was fine.
Okay.
It's just that it's a maxi pad commercial. Girls under... Prepubescent girls advertising tampons.
And apparently a bunch of guys... I don't care about that. That doesn't bother me at all.
And it was just creepy to me.
And a maxi pad isn't a tampon. Unless you're really, really into some uncomfortable... situations.
I only know that Always makes feminine products.
Mm-hmm. They make both.
And I don't know.
Mm.
It was the uncomfortable one of what? I mean, I was all like, okay, this is going to be another one of those like, you know, domestic violence is hard to talk about where the actors and the sports people are welling up with tears and they can't really talk about it. It's like, okay, that's an impactful, powerful thing, and it's from a nonprofit talking about domestic violence. Okay, here's another wonderful, positive message, and then Always.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm so conflicted by the message here.
Well, half of the fucking population it's relevant for half the population at some point in their lives.
Except for all the women that I was watching the game, that were at the party watching the game, were all like, also, what the fuck?
Yeah,
so
but...
I didn't feel too bad about me being, well, I'm throwing my male paintbrush on the canvas. It was like
say,
everyone going, blah, blah, blah.
I will say that maybe the Super Bowl is a weird, but I mean, fuck, Super Bowl commercials are all fucked up.
Yeah, they are.
So, But I don't think that's a fucked up commercial. I think it's a good commercial. I mean, eh, whatever.
Except the Budweiser one.
That Budweiser one was a pile of shit. Oh my God.
I cried. What are you talking about? The little puppy?
Oh no, I'm talking about the one where they're like, oh, your microbrews are stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but y'all got to order from a big... Walmart's got the best brand of everything, so y'all going to get that. The bigger means better when in terms of the store. What you go to, because McDonald's got the best burgers. That's just science. Yeah. That's just science. So Budweiser got the best beer, because that's science. What? Yeah, mic drop. Falls, because I don't know why. They say gravity. I think it's angels. What up?
Macro brew and proud of it.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. No, I'm talking about the dog. This little Didn't puppy loves the Clydesdales, and the Clydesdales go somewhere.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
is that the Dalmatian
dog,
one?
Not the Dalmatian. Okay. Cute little, I don't know, yellow lab, white lab, whatever. He's going after, and the owner's putting up lost dog, you know, dog's missing. And then you see the horses in the barn and the dog's running through the forest and you're like, oh, this is great. He's going to find him. This is, and then a wolf comes out from behind a tree and starts snarling at him. And the dog's sitting there, you know, barking back. And then you just see the inside of the barn, the gates and the doors are just shaking. And all of a sudden the wolf's like, arr! And the dog's like, arr! And the wolf's like, arr! And then he bolts. And then you turn around, there's the four Clydesdales behind the puppy. And it's just like, arr! Oh, it was awesome.
Oh.
Yeah.
Budweiser telling you can get into fights.
Mm-hmm.
For... Since 18,
standing up for the little guy.
60 crap.
Yeah.
So there's your Super Bowl ad recap, apparently.
And the GoDaddy one.
GoDaddy's always stupid. Every year.
But this one was really stupid, because there wasn't even anything stupid about it.
Great.
It was a guy writing down, he was an entrepreneur.
I'm an entrepreneur.
And he's just writing, and everyone...
And I'm just writing.
In the living rooms looking at the commercial going, he's a software developer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we won't talk about what apparently is a tragedy for everyone outside of Boston who cares about football.
Yeah.
I will say there are some good jokes going around right now.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
You want a second Super Bowl? Nah, I'll pass. Ba-dum-ts. Yeah.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts. It's so good. It hurts. Mm. So we'll just move on and put that behind us for the entire rest of the podcast.
Yeah. Because it deflates our egos like
by 2.5 pounds.
Two and a half pounds. And also, fucking climate change is real. I love you.
Get over
Bill
it.
Bill Nye.
Joe, so, how was your week?
Well, my week was meh. Just a lot of crap going on at the money gig, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not really having a great time, but they still keep writing my checks, so what are you going to do?
Cash them.
Yeah, that's what I do. On Saturday, I started creating a character in 13th Age by Peregrine Press, which is another Seattle RPG company.
Oh, okay.
Jonathan Tweet, Rob Hebdo. No, Hebdo's wrong. That's Charlie Hebdo.
Heisenberg?
Heisdo, no. I think. Something like that. Okay. I forget Rob's last name. Anyway, they're very nice guys. I've played a couple of games of this, all, but it's always been with Rob and Jonathan at either AFK or I played one at Gen Con. And, you know, it's either cons or AFK, and it's always with a pre-rolled character. I actually got to roll my own character on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely felt like old school D&D. Like, I felt like I was in junior high again. You know, I'm like, oh God, no, I got to balance these out and flipping through pages and like looking at, because I took a bard.
Nice.
I took a bard. Bards are actually kind of badass. You just have to be really skilled to use them because they're essentially the most talented class because they're a jack of all trades class.
Right.
So you like I had to decide what I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose to be a battle bard.
Nice.
So it's all about buffing those around me, getting some heals, but also like I have a couple of really heavy damage spells, things mm-hmm. like that. Plus I took oh, what was it? Jack Lightfang, I don't fucking know. I took a feat that allows me to basically steal a wizarding or sorcerer spell.
See, I was gonna say Jack Me Nimble.
Yeah, there we go. So I nimbled my way into. I haven't even picked that spell yet. Like this is, it's a one-page character sheet, and I'm still filling it out.
Wow.
Because yeah, like it's super simple on the sheet, and the mm-hmm. sheets are the character sheets are awesome. They're really well put together. So they did a great job with those. But the book is just fecund with data. So I'm going through, and now Dennis has all of the expansions too, but his world is a no magic world. Motherfucker. Dennis, are you listening?
So
I hate you. So there gets to be one wizard, and that wizard's already done. Okay. It's not a no magic world. It's an extremely limited magic world.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I like the characters that you have to figure out how to play to be around long enough mm-hmm. to get the XP to become, okay, you've been here, you've seen some shit, now you get to have some skills, and now you do damage. It's just like the grizzled right. old war veteran.
Exactly.
Who knows, you know, okay, I've taken that hill 20 times, and now I'm going to come around the side,
because right.
I've done it 20 times this way, and I'm still here, now I'm going to do it the smart way. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. Sunday just sucked for apparently everybody. Also, you know, the next day was work.
Oh, yeah.
But I spent some time watching Friends. Though I did start watching My Name is Earl.
Which
I'd watched. I've caught a few episodes of mm-hmm. My Name is Earl, but yeah. I hadn't watched. And it's really fucking good.
Is that on the Netflix?
It is on the Netflix.
Sweet. And that's a 22-minute.
It is a 22 right? minute per episode.
Oh,
easily consumable.
Been trying to find another one of those.
Hey, Crabman. I love Crabman. Everybody loves Crabman.
Okay.
Except for Joy, who kind of hates him for some reason. Hmm. But, you know, she's married to him.
Joy's a hater.
Joy's a hater. Dude, I love Presley. First name.
Jason?
No. That'd be Presley.
Oh, that's Presley.
No. Not Presley. Not Lisa Marie Presley. But Jamie Presley.
Okay.
Is that right?
I don't know.
No, I think it's Jamie Presley. She's the blonde wife in My Name is Earl, but she always plays that, you know, trailer trashy sort of...
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
It's been a long time.
She's pretty awesome.
The last time I saw My Name is Earl, it was on its network regular...
Do you know how long ago it was?
A while.
Hit Girl was in it and was like 6.
Okay. Yeah.
Chloe Marinz.
Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Chloe. And then a bunch of fucking consonants.
Yeah.
But not Mince Plasse. That's the dude. That's McLovin, right?
Right.
Yeah, no. It's. Anyway, Chloe Moritz, I think. Is that right?
No, I think that.
Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just fucking up names today.
Because I saw Moritz.
It probably
and I was
is
thinking
like Jamie and Presley and Chloe Moritz. I probably write on both of them, but I'm second guessing everything at the 1 yard line. So. Sorry, dude.
It's okay. But no, what's that? Sports ball. Yay.
What's that saying from...
I wish I couldn't care.
What's that saying from Hirohito? I think we have awakened a sleeping dragon. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm just poking at you.
I know.
Just like Daryl Hannah's hunger in the Snickers commercial. Don't you hate it when hunger's poking at you? I don't. I only know that from a Paula Poundstone bit. So
I just like the Danny Trejo and the Brady Bunch Snickers commercials.
I got to see the first part of that where he's like just combing his brushing his fucking hair. So mad. He's just so mad and brushing his.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
The next one is brilliant because Steve Buscemi's in it.
I heard that. I didn't get to see it. And it's the old. It's the actual old footage with them superimposed in it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Way better than
any
other.
What the fuck is superimposed?
Way better than any other superimposed add-in type commercial I've ever seen.
You're just going to let me get away with doing an Adam Sandler joke?
Yep.
All right, man.
I like Adam.
I got fucking no dukes. And then the rest of the week was just work. Mm-hmm. Just fucking shitty work.
I'm sorry.
Well, what are you going to do?
I had enough people to put together acting class this week, which was awesome.
Yay!
Though it was the day from hell, I was an hour late getting to set for a short. And then shot that right up until 3. And it was a good day of shooting, except that we all had a hard out at 3. And at about 1:30, 1:45, some phantom alarm started going off.
Oh, shit.
Two rooms over with a common wall of brick. So it just fucked with our audio, and the place we were shooting was like, yeah, we don't know how to turn that off. It goes off every once in a while.
Then why the fuck did you do this?
So we had an hour to kill, sacrificed a couple shots, and then turned around and tried to get the last one with me. And it was like a big monologue that I wasn't really prepared to do. So me and the other guy are running through everything and did 3 takes and money. And then I was off to another audition that the camera was not picking up the audio.
Oh, good.
They were already 30 minutes behind.
Of course they were.
So a bunch of us were sitting around while they tried to figure that out, and the guy came out after an hour or something. Okay, I almost called this first time in 31 years, but I don't know why. All of a sudden it's working again, so we're going to try and bust everybody through here.
Nice.
And it was another one of those that, you know, they'd been doing auditions since 9 a.m., and I was there at 5, so...
They're already wanting to go.
And one guy sitting there besides the casting director, so he's seen it, and it's just like, wow, okay. So pretty much assured I'm not going to get that. And then head class. So yeah, everything was just up against it. Found out that if you're in the L.A. area, the pilot that I was in, Camp Abercorn, is going to be screening on February
28th. Woo!
And I'm trying to figure out how I can squeeze out an airline ticket to go down there for it. It would be kind of fun to go.
That does sound awesome.
See a screening.
In L.A. That'd be fucking cool.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know, it's not just going to be the L.A. people that were a part of it. There'll be other L.A. people.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. It's like it's $80 and $90 for the tickets, I think. Each way, so under $200 I could do that, and I'll sleep in a rental car, I don't care. So anyway, that's going on. Went and saw some friends in a show on Friday. I'm gonna leave it as I went and saw some friends in a show on Friday.
Excellent.
And watched How to Train Your Dragon 2
on
Saturday. It was good.
It's good. I think the first one's better, but
yes,
this one's good.
Yeah. Watched 22 Jump Street.
How was that? I haven't seen it yet.
I fell asleep halfway through, but I was kind of tired.
Okay.
And then I watched Let's Be Cops, which was actually pretty funny.
Oh, excellent. Kevin Hart?
No. It's Damon Wayans Jr.
Okay.
And another cat whose name escapes me.
Gotcha.
But it was well worth it. And Don Riggle.
No, oh, yeah.
In both, it was great because he was also in 22 Jump Street. I was like, oh, look, it's a Riggle date. Two movies.
Well,
he's
the gym coach, right? In the first 21 Jump Street, he was the gym teacher, right? Riggle?
Yeah, he's the one who got his dick shot off and went to prison.
Right.
So they bring him back.
Of course they do.
In this one. It's... Yeah, it's a good scene.
I've been watching Archer, the new season of Archer. It's back to its roots. It's
nice.
I mean, Vice was okay. It was funny, and the end of Vice made the beginning of Vice much better. But it was hard to get into that season.
Yeah.
Now,
is that on Comedy Central?
No. You have to either buy the episodes or watch it live. It's not.
I know, but
FX. Sorry.
FX. Oh, okay. FX.
So, waiting for next week's version of that. Have not watched Agent Carter yet.
Nope, haven't seen that either.
But my friend Rick Steadman is in it. Briefly. He's a background character, but I'm like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Rick's a cool guy. We went to... So, we didn't go to the same high school. We went to rival high schools. Which, in Spokane, Ferris and LC have a rivalry that is, for some reason, symbolized by a rubber chicken. And we have a basketball game called the Rubber Chicken, accordingly. And me being the high-spirited fellow I am, and not liking sports, and not liking team mentality, even as a child, in 10th grade, I almost got expelled for wearing a red armband with a chicken on it and goose-stepping through the halls. Because I felt like it was just stupid side, you know, it's like, oh, it's just a bit of competitive fun. Yeah, people slash people's tires. It's not competitive fun.
No.
People pick teams and they just identify so much.
Yeah.
And yeah, those people are fucked up and they would have done it anyway. I do get that. But this does help. It justifies it for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, asshole.
So the joke I was going to make right at the top of this was, so you're two rival guys? That's for you.
Well,
you
know
who you are.
I was a young man at the time.
Ah.
So, so Rick was in a comedy troupe from Ferris called the Freshmakers, and I was in a comedy troupe from LC called the Lunch
Mentos?
Bunch.
Oh.
Yeah, Mentos, like the Freshmakers. And together, we were the Fresh Bunch, briefly. Like, we just filmed a bunch of stuff together. Jeremy Richards and Rick Steadman and then the other guy, who I don't remember. I feel bad about. But we filmed some really funny... I mean, they're still pretty funny. Like, I watched a couple of them not recently, but not too not recently.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually pretty good for, you know, a couple of 17-year-old kids and a camera. We had one where we were... Someone was on trial for force feeding cough drops to penguins because that was a commercial at the time where these penguins eating Hall's mentholyptus cough drops.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And so, you know, we're like, you know, so you're trying to tell me that this penguin who's never seen a cough drop voluntarily ate said cough drop. And anyway, it just went on So we were accused, and finally Rick Steadman breaks down on the stand. Yes, I did it. I fed them. We had a lot of weird shit. There was one where we're walking around doing just bizarre shit. Like, we're walking in a store in business suits, and we're like, hey, where's Steadman? Because we call him Steadman. And we'd cut back, and he's sweaty, sweat dripping down. The camera's underneath him, and he's just pounding away, right? And then he'd go back to us, and we'd be on swings and smoking jackets. Where's Steadman? You go back and forth, and then eventually he just pulls out, and he's plunging a toilet. Womp womp. Funny joke.
Toilet humor.
Mm.
What do you have coming up this week?
Well, one, you guys need to get out there and fucking support Star Mazer.
Yeah.
Share it. Please share the Star Mazer Kickstarter, because the more eyes that are on it, if you've already supported it, great. Thank you. Please share it. Share it on Twitter. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Elo. I don't fucking know.
But it's doing pretty good.
Share it on LinkedIn. Yeah, it's almost half. It might be half at this point, too.
Yeah.
With 20 days to go, I think. So.
Yeah, I found someone in Australia doing an 8-bit game back that.
Cool.
And then the six-sided die pencil.
Yeah, I saw those. Those were good.
Yeah, so I grabbed that too. So I've now in one night kickstarted more than I think I have previous.
That is true. Additionally, I got an email today, and we can't. I don't think I can talk about what it is, but it's something involving you. It's a part in something that you have a part in that I don't know if we can talk about. So,
did I not get an email today?
Maybe not.
Okay.
So, Well, we'll talk about it after the podcast. So maybe you didn't get an email today.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I am too.
Oh, I did play a little bit of Final Fantasy, the Final Fantasy IV, the complete edition, which is a nice sort of PlayStation-y remastered version of Final Fantasy IV, which was Final Fantasy II in the U.S. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. So I'm probably going to play that instead of my my NES or my SNES version.
Oh, okay.
It's so pretty.
Oh, I know what else happened last week.
What else happened last week?
Torchlight 2.
Torchlight 2 on Macintosh.
On Macintosh.
Which was introduced via a commercial starring Falcor the Dog.
That's right.
Lisa Coronado.
Lisa Coronado.
Written by Wanda Ross. Someone else was in it.
K-Jazz.
Right, right. God, who was
Leroy
it?
Leroy
Jenkins?
Was it Lee? I can't remember. Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful
I can't do it guy. Anymore. Scott C. Brown was in it. Oh, my God. Scott C. Brown was in it. Scott C. Brown.
I just want to say the support we've gotten for Unicorn Bacon, we need to make some shirts like Master General.
Totally.
Because I think that might actually go places.
And but. You got the outline. You got the out joke.
Yeah. I'm good. I'm very happy to cut that into my reel.
You're on Steam right now.
That's why it's so hot in here. Okay.
Steam heat. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get drunk on questions until we forget.
Okay. Let's do that. Rob McLennan writes in with the first. What's your favorite Rob Lowe movie? No, that's not a trick question.
That one's easy for me. Do you want to go first? Because this one's super fucking easy for me.
Stephen King?
What?
Okay, never mind.
I take it back. It's not easy for me. I've got two. Fuck! But I think I definitely have the easy one.
Okay.
My easy one is The Specials. Where he plays...
Oh, right!
He plays the Weevil.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go get some pussy weevil. What's a pussy weevil? So, I don't know why it's funny. But it's fun. Well, no, I do know why it's funny. Yeah. And then Wayne's World would be the other one. Where Rob Lowe is the skeezy television producer that tries to buy them off of Aurora Public Access.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And he speaks Cantonese and tries to get up on Tia Carrera's Tia Carrera.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Forgot about that one. But wasn't he in The Stand or something?
Yes. Yeah, he was the deaf guy. Tommy? No, that's Pinball Wizard. That's The Who. He was deaf. He hung out with M-O-O-N, That Spells Moon, fucking Dauber. Or not Dauber. Dauber's from Wings, right?
Yeah.
No, it's Dauber. Dauber's from Coach.
Yes, Dauber's from Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's movie, because if it's not movie, I'm going with West Wing. But
The Stand counts as a movie.
Yeah, but I was...
But West Wing's, that's a good one.
See, and I still love him in Parks and Rec.
Was it Nick? Fuck. I cannot remember his character in The Stand. Anyway, yeah, Parks and Rec, of course, Parks and Rec. Speaking of Parks and Rec, the best thing to come out of the Super Bowl this year, hands down, aside from the Sharks, which we've already established, the best thing is the Chris Evans, Chris Pratt Children's Hospital doubleheader, where they're going to appear as their Marvel characters at both hospitals. Because they both agreed to do both hospitals. So Chris Evans is coming to Seattle. Chris Pratt will be here as Star-Lord and Captain America, and they'll be going to Beth's, I think, in Boston. Same thing. It's going to be awesome. Are you still looking up Rob Lowe?
Well, no, I'm trying to find the thing. There's The Specials is the Weevil.
Yeah, the Weevil.
But, wow, Austin Powers was out before The Specials?
I think The Specials was 2000, and Austin Powers was like 99. Well, The Specials was 99, and it was 98.
Well, Holland Falls. Wow. Yeah, I'm uncredited in Tommy Boy. Wow.
But dude, come on. He was the brother. That's stupid.
I know, but he's uncredited. I'm trying to find... Oh, yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking of. St. Elmo's Fire.
I can't help but think of Chariots of Fire.
The Outsiders he was good into.
Oh, yeah, hey. as I,
it actually doesn't name him in here in the stand.
Really? I don't buy it. Yeah, Pony Boy and Soda Pop.
Yeah.
What is it? As I left?
Oh, there. Damn it. There it just was. Okay. Just
as I opened the door from the dark movie, I don't remember the first line of The Outsiders, but it was something like that. Open the door. He leaves a movie theater and it's too bright out. And I resonate with that. That's
yeah.
Fuck bright things.
Daytime just movies.
Fuck them. So what's next?
Okay. Dennis Nickel writes in a very long question.
You just have fun with that. I'm going to go to sleep for a second.
Okay. Dennis Nickel writes, okay, let me ask this a different way. We'll flash back to his original question, which was too hot or too cold. And he clarifies, let's say you have been kidnapped and are about to be tortured for information about your involvement in an upcoming secret squirrel project. You know, like the ones you guys are always hinting at, but which you can never talk about. Hey, we just did that a second ago. Your kidnappers give you a choice. One, to be dumped into a hole in an ice lake where you'll be submerged in ice water like those crazy old Speedo guys.
Uh-huh.
Which, if you're submerged, I'm going to die. Therefore, I don't like option one. Two, spend hours in one of those uber-hot cleansing sweat rooms that are all suffocating. Which I believe he just means a sauna.
No, I think he means... So, keep going, but I'll...
So, he says, now, which would you prefer to be, too hot or too cold?
Yeah. So, I think he actually... So, the saunas generally go up to 200 and some odd degrees.
Mm-hmm.
There are these Russian heat rooms, which it all seems very Russian to me.
Yeah.
But there are these, like, Russian hothouse rooms. They're, like, 300 degrees or something. It's like going into an oven. And it's stupid.
I choose neither.
Yeah, see, for me, it's like, it goes back and forth, you know? Because, like, mm-hmm. obviously you can breathe in the submerged one. I would take the submerged one, provided I could breathe, in this case, if he means the hot, like, super hot 300-degree room,
mm-hmm.
where it's an equivalent sort of thing. If he doesn't, well, a sauna is a much better choice than freezing cold water. So even though I'll be uncomfortable, I'll take the sauna because it's still going to be easier than being submerged in freezing cold water. But if it's a sauna and like going outside in shorts, you know, in like underwear in a Boston winter,
mm-hmm.
I'll take going outside in underwear in a Boston winter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It goes back and forth. But if the extremes are the same, I generally want the cold.
Yes, I would say I would totally polar bear
mm-hmm.
before being asked to go do its equivalent in hotness.
Yes.
Or in warmth. Mm-hmm. I, for some reason, just flash back to middle school where Kim Parker and Kim Pattison were taking Cole McCandlish and myself and kidnapping Batman and Robin.
Mm.
So I was going somewhere totally different with this entire scenario. And I wouldn't care. Just kidnap me.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to say neither
mm-hmm.
are especially... yeah. I don't like either of those scenarios or either of those extremes. But if I had to be in a crazy cold area or a crazy warm area, both of which would make me uncomfortable... I would probably go with the crazy warm area, like being stuck in a sauna for a while as opposed mm-hmm. to being stuck in an ice bath.
But if it's, because, I don't think those are equivalent. I think that the equivalency would be being stuck in a room where you are burning, like it's hurting physically much
yeah,
more.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in either of those places.
You don't get a choice in this case.
I do. I'll commit Harry Carey before either of those is optioned.
Because I don't think announcing for the Cubs is going to help you out, man.
I know. I don't either, but I'm... Yeah. A, the kidnappers are going to pick
for me. Oh, you mean
Hadi
Kiri.
Seppuku. How's that?
That's lover suicide.
Yes.
All right. Cool. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that. Is Nick Andros, by the way, in the stand. Nick Andros.
Okay.
Fucking hap.
Following that lovely description on my end up, Paula Moran writes, what is your perfect date night? Well, not being too hot or too cold, yeah. Just tied up into a web by Kim Pedersen and Kim Peterson. That's not my perfect date night.
Hey, if you're Bill Belichick, apparently it's giving a full-on kiss to your daughter.
So long as there's no tongue, that's fine.
Dude, I don't know. There looked like there was tongue.
Not while I'm drinking, please.
I'm not saying there was tongue. I am saying you could have ordered what they were doing at a Mexican taco cart if you catch my drift. There was tongue. That's what I'm saying.
I do catch your drift.
Good.
I thought there was cheek, but okay.
There's probably neither. I'm sure he's a decent man with his wrinkly balls and his daughter kissing and his grass eating. What the fuck is up with that?
I don't know. So what's your answer to the perfect date night?
Well, man, I don't know. I'm a homebody. I don't like going out and doing things.
I know, but if Erin was going to treat you to like a really awesome,
she's already done it. It's done.
Then
she took me to a They Might Be Giants concert, and we got donuts. Woo! Fuck yeah!
Okay, there you go. Perfect date night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know though. I was like, am I alone? Am I with someone?
I'm going to say date night includes at least one other person.
Maybe, for all you know, maybe I'm fucking making baklava. Maybe. It's a date night, and I got dates. Motherfucker.
Maybe it's just a bottle of Jergens and a good movie.
Yeah. I pronounce it with the hard K.
Yeah.
The color really?
First one that popped into my head.
Oh, hey, fuck it. I'm going to whip it out. It's Roots. Ain't nothing I like better than seeing LeVar Burton strung up. No. That's not even...
I was meaning Oprah Winfrey.
I could probably go to see Oprah Winfrey. Hey.
Get that out. For me, it'd be a nice steak dinner, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much a Ron Swanson dinner. Steak, potatoes, Lagavulin.
Don't fill up on date night, dude.
Moderate
on date night. Fill up on your birthday. Don't fill up on date night.
And then maybe go out to a show.
Mm-hmm.
A good theater or, maybe a really nice movie. Drinks and some dancing afterwards. And going back home and dancing between the sheets. I think that would all be a good date night.
I don't know what kind of weird ghost dance you do, but it sounds intriguing.
It's kind of like a ghost pepper, but not quite.
Caliente. I just think it's funny because, like, I am so not a grown-up. We have a sheet on our bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't do the fucking top sheet. We don't share blankets. Fuck that shit. I have my Binky. All right. She's got her Whoopi. We're good. I don't fucking want to deal with someone else's blanket, like, persona. Cause,
right. Dude, no, I'm with you.
Fuck, man.
I understand.
Blankets
that.
Are personal.
They are.
Personal.
Yeah.
Got to have my leg out of the right side of it, the correct side, that is, which could be the right side, depending on how I'm laying, you know. Sometimes it's half, you know, down, sometimes it's half up, sometimes it's all the way on, sometimes the head's covered.
Yep.
With a little breathing hole. Blankets are fucking...
Because then you can regulate temperature.
Yes.
But if you're sharing and you get that...
Yeah, Dennis.
You roll over and
yeah, I take like my your blanket, Dennis. I take my blanket, Dennis. Then what? Then what, Dennis?
Then you lift your leg because you want to cool everything off.
Mm-hmm.
And you lift everything up and then you set it down. It kind of gives you that of nice cool air. But then if you happen to be lucky enough to have a partner laying next to you, if it's the same sheet, you get that initial nice of the fresh air that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get that
my nose
pot belly stove air
that
comes wafting as an unwelcomed second guest of I was just cooling off and now I've got this huge uber hot cleansing sweat room.
Right. Now we're not talking about farts here. We're just talking about
no.
Human heat.
Yes,
like
correct.
We're talking, this is what the Matrix robots were harvesting.
Right. Yes.
So, but you know, if we're talking about farts, we might as well talk. I mean, because that's an issue too.
In that regard, I am an adult. I do not do the whole fart pulled the single blanket over somebody's head.
No, but if you have
head.
Your own blanket, it doesn't matter.
True.
It matters a little. I have a charcoal blanket, so I'm good.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, you are a thoughtful bed partner.
I have a burned blanket. See, I took my blanket into this sauna and got a little too close to the rocks.
Yeah.
So that happens. I would definitely rather be too cold.
And then your blanket was deflated.
My blanket was deflated. Bill Blanket Jack.
Hopefully that answers the question. I'm not going to talk about my special dance because it involves way too much equipment. Rob McLennan writes...
It involves two sharks. Go ahead.
What is the best food to serve at a Super Bowl party and why?
Wings, because it's the best food. The end. Bacon... Also an acceptable answer. Why does this... You don't need the modifier of a Super Bowl party.
Correct. But at a Super Bowl party, the best thing is to have whatever spread you have eaten prior to the game. Because the most important thing during the game is you need to have something that you don't have to pull your eyes away from the TV from until you get to one of the shitty commercials.
So you need the chips and stuff for that.
And some people will disagree with me, but last night we had the caramel corn cheese corn combination bowl.
But not the plain corn. They forgot.
No. And then there was the green and blue
candy corn, right?
In a bowl. So it was kind of like a limey green flavor, whatever, and then like a blueberry. But then there was just those, and they were those really good. I don't really like popcorn, the kind that bursts in odd shapes, but this was like that round, you know, marble sized kernels have a lot of seed husk still in them.
You know how they do that, right?
No.
It's really cool. So at the professional popcorn companies, they pressurize the corn. It's not so much that it's heated.
Right.
They pressurize it so it can't expand. And then they do a pressure release valve and it all pops very cylindrically.
Oh.
So you can actually buy a home one, but they're fucking scary and they're illegal, I think, in the US. But yeah, it's a pressure vessel based popcorn that makes these round kernels because they're not just like popping because of just the pressure inside. Mm-hmm. They're popping because of the pressure inside and the sudden non-pressure outside.
Oh, okay.
So they pop much more uniformly.
Yeah. Well, that combination was great because it was the salty and it was the sweet all at the same time. And you just dip your hand in the bowl and keep watching the game up and, you know, till the last 25 seconds in rapt attention.
And it clogs your sphincter so you don't have an unfortunate movement.
Exactly. Also, the pulled pork / what would have been amazing would have been brisket, but all of Seattle was sold out of brisket, so we didn't have brisket, or I would have eaten the shit out of some brisket, but the pulled pork was quite good.
I'm still a wing guy, man. Gotta love the wings.
We had the wings there.
Love the wings. Where'd you get them from? Did you... Homemade?
I'm not sure. It was at, I can say this, Rafael Pompeo's house. Mm-hmm. He and his lovely lady Tracy threw the party last Super Bowl and this Super Bowl, and it was great. And they also had the pretzel rolls, which were great for sandwiches. But yeah, I do the every meat on the tray sandwich, including the salmon cheese spread and avocado as my condiments.
Yeah, we did talk about Meat Mountain already, right? I believe we did.
The Arby's Meat Mountain. Yes, I admitted to the Meat Mountain.
The all of the meats.
Although I have figured this out. You get the Meat Mountain, and then you ask, and you have to go through 5 minutes of quizzical inquiry as to why on earth would you actually ask for this other thing. But you ask for the Meat Mountain, and then you ask for a second bun.
So you can take it apart and make
another
sandwich.
So that you can break it in half and get two sandwiches out of it. But yeah, it's always the best. I'd like to get a Meat Mountain. Okay, that'll be $10. And blah, blah, blah. And I'd like just a bun. What do you mean? I would like just a bun with nothing on it. Just one of your, I don't care which size, just a bun. That's not on the menu. I'm sure that it's not. I'm sure you don't have people coming up and going, "Hi, I'd like two slices of toast." Mm-hmm. Nobody's asking for that, but that's what I want. Mm-hmm. In addition to my extremely expensive, yet oh so delicious, Meat Mountain.
Yeah, gotcha.
And
chicken
on. Now, are you a? I know that technically wings have bones in them, but are you also of the, if it's a boneless wing or chicken tender, is that also, if it, everything else is the same,
minus
the
bones? It's totally good. Chicken tenders are good. Chicken tenders are breaded. Generally, the wings I like are not.
Ah, okay.
So I prefer on the bone. Mm-hmm. Wing Dome is my, that's my church for chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer on the spicy side, mm-hmm. generally five alarm. I've done a six. It was pretty spicy. I've never done the seven, but I generally get fives. And then they also have hot cross fries, which are chicken wings that are potatoes, essentially. And those are good.
With bones in them?
No.
Okay.
No potato bones.
Okay.
No, it's just waffle cut fries with the hot sauce and a little blue cheese sprinkle.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, minus the hot sauce plus the blue cheese. That's
my fat senses are tingling. No, that might be a cardiac. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really what fat senses tingling are. So.
Right. And the last question of the evening comes to us from an so hopeful Tom Brophy at the time that he wrote this.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
He says, "Hey, what?" Actually, it's three questions in one, so I'm going to ask the first two.
Mm-hmm.
First one is, what are your top goals for 2015?
Okay.
And let's answer that individually and as two bards.
Yes. So individually, do more voice work.
Mm-hmm.
Big time goal for me. Actually, just film some stuff. I just want to film some stuff. You know, I'd say lose a little weight, but I mean, I'm just not even fucking kidding myself anymore. So, but yeah, that's about it. Like, I want to go do some stuff that makes me feel good.
Yeah,
make me feel good.
Yep,
it's perfect. Halle Berry, by the way, flawless Halle Berry. I just did.
Yeah,
made me feel good.
It was amazing. I thought she was here.
I know, right?
I'm
Catwoman. See?
I will say get more acting work and not have to get a real job, which ain't going to happen, but it's my goal. It's one of my top goals. The getting healthy,
mm-hmm.
On my way there.
Good job.
Already made some changes, need to continue to make more changes.
Yeah.
I think collectively as two bards would be to produce something.
Yes.
Other than this podcast.
Yes.
Whether that's filmed, whether that's podcast, narrative.
Well, more than that. Primary production on something other than this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what it is. We have a few things that are potential just floating around out there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how they go. But definitely would be nice to produce something.
Yes. So. Then.
Keep going.
This question... I can't even believe he's asking this, but what do you think of the Ghostbusters cast?
I fucking love it.
I love it, too. Bill Murray, Harold Ramis.
You know what he means.
Dan Aykroyd.
You know what he means. Look at me in the eyes. Look at me in the eyes. You know what he means.
Unfortunately, I know what he means.
Yeah.
And I think it's stupid, repugnant, non-starter, and it should be nuked.
Why?
Ghostbusters should not be remade.
Every fucking person that cast is hilarious.
Nope.
You're the idiot that is the internet. I'm just putting that out there.
No.
There's nothing
Would you remake Citizen Kane? No. I don't care how good people are. Make another movie?
They have remade Citizen Kane. No, they called haven't. It something else.
Then make another all-female Ghostbuster-ish type thing. Leave my Ghostbusters alone. It was bad enough that they made a sequel and a third.
They didn't make a third.
Yes, they did.
There's a Ghostbusters 3?
It was an animated series.
No, dude, okay. Whoa. You fucking back off the real Ghostbusters right now. Okay? You take a step back. Lorenzo Music is God. You fucking just back up. All right? Number two.
I knew that would get you.
Number two. All right?
Uh-huh.
Motherfucker. The Ghostbusters cartoon had some of the best pop culture Cthulhu mythos of anything in the 80s. It was perfect. Mrs. Havisham had a fucking door to a complete... come on! Right. Number three, Melissa McCarthy, funny as fuck. Don't care what you say. I am totally for it.
I think she's extremely first hilarious.
Of all, everything you're talking about is speculative. We don't know what it's going to be entirely. As far as reboots go or whatever, the original plan was to restart the franchise with the old Ghostbusters handing off to the new Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much to make that a cognitive step. Okay, they're just handing off. Cool. Handing over the reins. They're fucking remaking Indiana Jones with Chris Pratt. That's happening.
What?
They're putting Chris Pratt in a fucking love story with raptors, as far as I can tell from what I've seen. So, you know, eh.
Oh, but that's not Indiana Jones.
No, that would be Jurassic Park. The remake of Jurassic Park.
But are they really redoing Jurassic Indiana World. Jones? That's... Or are you just drawing the parallels between the...
No, they're really redoing Indiana Jones, it sounds like. So, it's almost like people keep retelling Sherlock Holmes stories, right? Oh my God, who'd be stupid enough to do that? The books were good enough.
Right.
No, you fucking get to do.
Yeah, no, sorry.
You wouldn't have House? You like House. I know you like House.
Oh, I do, but I'm just going back to the whole Ghostbusters thing. No, call it something else. Put four ladies chasing ghosts. Great.
What if they remade it with men?
Still don't. In fact, up until the point when I actually went in and saw that it was women in the cast, All I saw was Ghostbuster remake, and I was already incensed.
Okay, well.
So for me, not knowing what the payoff was at the end of going to follow this thing, I was like, no. No, that would be like remaking Animal House. No.
Which they've tried to do.
I know, and failed, and it's horrible.
Everything's
it's
a remake, dude.
I know.
There are seven stories.
And the last question that Tom writes in, and I'm only doing this because he actually wrote it in, and it was two before... bards have integrity, and we will read everything that someone writes in the question. How will we celebrate the Seahawks win?
See, this is awesome. Because I'm going to do it the exact same way I'm doing it now. I don't fucking care. How would I celebrate the Seahawks win? Stay out of downtown on traffic day.
I would have celebrated the Seahawks win with a cigar, some scotch, and some good friends.
Isn't that exactly how you celebrated the loss?
No.
Oh.
I went home.
See, to me, that's just like a good excuse to have a cigar, some scotch, and some good friends. Just celebrate it anyway. You know, the people
today,
I
can do that. I can look back and go, okay, you know, it's like the, I can't find my keys. Oh, they were in the last place I looked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I certainly hope that once you found your keys, you stopped looking for them exactly. And was the last place you looked. So here's a whole game, 59 minutes, 35 seconds worth of it, of questionable calls and performances by players and this, that, and the other thing. And
A broken wrist. Terribly broken wrist.
A number of things. It all contributed to this one moment that, yes, everyone Monday morning quarterbacking at the time it's happening were all devastated the minute that the ball was snapped and Russell Wilson ran back to pass the ball. Collectively, the entire place went, what? And then the interception was thrown and everyone was like, what? But yeah, it was just, everybody was just, it was too hard. It was too soon to celebrate then. But now, you know, I was listening to talk radio on the way here tonight, and the guy's like, do we forgive and forget? I'm like, of course you do. They're all playing. They're all, it's one 5-second thing out of an awesome season that got them to the Super Bowl. Yeah, Pete Carroll shouldn't have called that. The offensive coordinator shouldn't have called that. Russ Wilson shouldn't have thrown that. Curse should have thrown the correct block that would have gotten Lockett open to catch the pass. Yeah, Lockett should have been defending the pass and batted it down when he saw he couldn't get it. There are 50 million things. A guy on the Patriots made an incredible, incredible play who 10 seconds earlier made an incredible miscue. And Curse caught a ball that within 10 seconds of each other, one of the most memorable highlights of the Super Bowl ever will be this catch that goes up in the air. Curse falls down. The ball hits his knee, bounces back into the air. While he's on his back, the defender gets up and goes away. Curse touches it with his finger, knocks it back into his other hand, pulls it down, stands up, and walks out of bounds to stop the clock. Amazing awareness of ball, space, time, everything. Incredible. And the same guy that allowed that to happen is the guy who picked off the ball in the end zone. So good calls, bad calls, good officiating, bad officiating, great play, not so great play on both sides of the ball. It was an epic game that we didn't win. Next season, folks. That's it.
I don't know what you just said, little boy, but you touch a brother's heart. Something, something, ball handling in your end zone. All right, whatever. That's
yeah,
cool.
That's pretty much, that's about all it is. Ball handling in an end zone.
Yeah. Again, everything I know about this game, I've learned from internet memes, which are awesome. There's one that it's got, oh, fuck, what's his name? Pete
Carroll?
Yeah.
The coach?
Yeah, it's his phone. And he's like, you know, what's the next step? And he types in beast mode and it auto-corrects to bizarre side pass or something like that. So, pretty funny, man.
Yeah, I'm sure those will be. And like they're saying, that's what's going to be remembered.
Yeah, it's true.
This whole thing. And personally, I don't mind, you know, we run that ball in all four downs and can't break the plane of the goal line and lose the game. Okay, no problem. I have the shitty that we don't win, but everything was left on the field at that moment. This
the passing
questionable
passing.
Play call. Everyone's like, "Why from from 3 feet away? Why do you pass?" Yeah, we'll never know. But to his credit, Pete Carroll has taken the bullet. Says it's my fault. Mike Hall, the offensive coordinator who called the play as it was my call. That wasn't anything audible on the line. That was the play that we called in. That's the play that they ran. We looked at everything. We made that decision. And they're right. He catches that ball. We score a touchdown. Genius. Everyone was looking for the run, and they dialed up a pass. Amazing. But no. It got picked off. Now it's, what the fuck kind of call was that?
Right, right, right. The one thing I have to say that's creepy as fuck is...
so hold it, the one
thing? I have a lot of things to say, but that's beside the point. So I've been... basically, you know that I get a lot of Bing rewards because I want the points to get my five. If you don't do it, go to bing.com, sign up. You do like 15 searches a day or whatever. You get free points that you can turn into like Xbox money. So
yeah,
it's fucking free Xbox money. So anyway, so I get my points and a lot of times they have these football things. And every time I went there for a game, Bing correctly predicted the outcome of the game. Every
really?
Single time.
Wow.
So it had Patriots to win by 51% in the previous game, which the Seahawks, by all rights, were losing.
Yep.
They had the Seahawks to win by 50.5%.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, and like there were a few more that I went to, and every single time Bing was right. So Google, watch back. Because.
Did they pick the Patriots?
Bing's getting, yeah. No, wait. Did Google pick the Patriots? I don't know if Google even picks anything. But no, fucking Bing's like getting some Skynet shit going. Maybe Bing threw the game. Maybe Bing called in that play. Maybe could have. He has a Windows phone.
They've got Surface tablets. I just want whatever the Surface thing is that the Surfaces are snapping into now. Yeah. Those awesome blue carriage jobbies. Mm-hmm. By the way, Cortana was apparently changing her prediction over the course of the week.
Mm.
Because you could say, Cortana, who will win the Super Bowl?
Hmm.
That was on.
She's probably mad that you were mispronouncing her name.
Yeah. Cortana, yeah. Cortana, whatever.
I wouldn't answer you either.
Yeah, whatever.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you want to come on and not talk about fucking football.
We don't want you here.
We want you here. Please. Please. Oh, God. I just need fucking something other than this pigskin bullshit. Stardust my ass.